The weekend is over. I once made up my mind to keep a diary, but I had nothing to write, so I gave up after a week. I mean, I just do the same thing over and over again, day in, day out. But still, it does not bother me at all that I'm now just a part of the work I do. I don't feel the least bit alienated from my life. If anything, I sometimes feel that by concentrating on my work like this, with all the mindless determination of an ant, I'm getting closer to the real me. I don't know how to put it, but it's as if by not thinking about myself, I can get closer to the core of myself. That's what I mean by kind of weird. I'm giving this job everything I've got. Not to boast, but I've even been named Worker of the Month. I told you I may not look it, but I'm really good at handiwork. We divide up into teams when we work, and any team I join improves its figures. I do things like helping the slower girls when I'm finished with my part of a job. So now I'm popular with the other girls. Can you believe it? Me? Popular? Anyway, what I wanted to tell you, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, is that all I've been doing since I came to this factory is work, work, work. Like an ant, like the village blacksmith. Have I made myself clear so far? Anyway, the place where I do my work is really weird. It's huge, like a hangar, with a great high roof and wide open. 150 girls sit lined up working there. It's quite a sight. Of course, they didn't have to put up such a monster factory. It's not as if we're building submarines or anything. They could have divided us up into separate rooms, but maybe they figured it would increase our sense of communal solidarity to have that many people working together in one place. Or maybe it's just easier for the bosses to oversee the whole bunch of us at once. I'll bet they're using whatchamacallit psychology on us. We're divided up into teams, surrounding workbenches just like the ones in science class where you dissect frogs, and one of the older girls sits at the end as team leader. It's okay to talk, as long as you keep your hands moving. I mean, you can't just shut up and do this stuff all day long. But if you talk or laugh too loud or get too engrossed in your conversation, the team leader will come over to you with a frown and say, "All right, Yumiko, let's keep the hands moving, not the mouth. Looks like you're falling behind." So we all whisper to each other like burglars in the night. They pipe music into the factory. The style changes depending on the time of day. If you're a big fan of Barry Manilow or Air Supply, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, you might like this place. It takes me a few days to make one of my rigs. The time differs according to the grade of the product, of course, but you have to measure the time it takes to make a wig in days. First, you divide the base into checkerboard squares, and then you plant hair into one square after another in order. It's not assembly line work, though, like the factory in Chaplin's movie, where you tighten one bolt and then the next one comes. Each wig is mine. I almost feel like signing and dating each one when I'm through with it. But I don't, of course. They just get mad at me. It's a really nice feeling to know, though, that someone out there in the world is wearing the wig I made on his head. It gives me a sense of, I don't know, connectedness. Life is so strange, though. If somebody had said to me 3 years ago, "3 years from now, you're going to be in a factory in the mountains making wigs with a lot of country girls," I would have laughed in their face. I could never have imagined this. And as for what I'll be doing 3 years from now, nobody knows the answer to that one either. Do you know what you're going to be doing 3 years from now, Mr. Wind-Up Bird? I'm sure you don't. Forget about 3 years. I'd be willing to bet all the money I've got here that you don't know what you'll be doing a month from now. The girls around me, though, know pretty much where they'll be in 3 years. Or at least they think they do. They think they're going to save the money they make here, find the right guy after a few years, and be happily married. The guys these girls are going to marry are mostly farmers' sons or guys who will inherit the store from their fathers or guys working in small local companies. Like I said before, there's a chronic shortage of young women here, so they get bought up pretty quickly. It would take some really bad luck for anybody to be left over, so they all find somebody or other to marry. It's really something. And as I said in my last letter, most people leave work when they get married. Their job in the wig factory is just a stage that fills the few years gap between leaving school and getting married. Like a room they come into, stay in a little while, then leave. Not only does the wig company not mind this, they seem to prefer to have the girls work just a few years and leave when they get married. It's a lot better for them to have a constant turnover of workers rather than have to worry about salaries and benefits and unions and stuff like that. The company takes better care of the girls with ability who become team leaders, but the other ordinary girls are just consumer goods to them. There's a tacit understanding then between the girls and the company that they will get married and leave. So for the girls, imagining what is going to happen 3 years